Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And Kevin, this is one of those shows where I'm a little angry that we can't say f**ks on the radio.
You just said it. You gotta use the word. We've been instructed that in certain markets, it's not appropriate to say. So we get to say breasts, since it's actually a medical term.
Right. Well, and the reason I'm mad that I can't use the other term for it is there is some bodacious breast action at the box office this week. And I'm not talking about Russell Crowe. What I am talking about is Monica Bellucci's tarp, Shoot 'Em Up. But on this week's show, we are going to take the 310 to Yuma. We're going to meet up with the brother Solomon, and we're going to explore all the most creative ways that Clive Owen can use a carrot.
And here's a hint. It has nothing to do with Monica Bellucci or yes. Monica Lewinsky, for that matter. Either one. No Monicas were harmed in the making of that movie.
But before we get into all of that, a couple of ways you can get at the Fat Guys at the Movies. You can get us online, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. If you go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies, we will pop it right up.
Well, yeah. We won't. The show will.
The show link
That'd be
will.
Wouldn't that be cool?
If we could just be in iTunes? We'd call Steve Jobs. I bet you he could make that happen.
He can make it happen. We could then teleport to people's house and talk to them.
We will come to your
food.
House and revoke your man card.
That's right.
If you don't like Transformers.
I'm in a completely random mode today. I'm like Ethan Suplee in My Name is Earl. I'm watching that right now.
Oh.
And where he just kind of like randomly says things.
And that's not good. I mean, are you going to be okay? Because I know My Name is Earl has Jamie Presley, who's on your, like,
she's so hot.
Top five trashy girls ever.
Oh,
list.
She is the top trashy girl.
What about Bijou Phillips?
Oh, I don't know, man. Bijou Phillips. If I could flip a coin. If I could flip a coin, I wouldn't flip a coin. I'd have them both.
Wow, that's impressive. Anyways, finishing up how you can get in touch with us, you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com.
You hear that, Jamie?
Or you can give us a call, which would probably be the preferred method for Jamie Presley to get a hold of Kevin Carr. Area code 614-388-8735. Let's talk about some movies now.
Okay. I'm going to be somewhat lazy in the show because I actually did work
when are you
and prep.
Not
Never there's mind. Four movies that we can talk about. How many have you seen, Neil? You've seen Uno, and I've seen Quattro.
Two?
No, you've seen... Well, I
yeah,
guess you
that's
have
right.
To. Okay, two.
Two out of four.
Two. And I've seen four out of four.
And I could have seen three out of four, but I decided that Leonardo DiCaprio is just not that big of a draw
anymore.
You
wanted to sleep. That's what you told me.
Well, kind of, yeah.
So we're going to start out with the movies that I've seen, but Neil hasn't. Let's start out with The Brothers Solomon, starring Will Arnett and from Arrested Development and Will Forte from Saturday Night Live. Let's hear a clip.
Make a baby for dad!
What do you say we get out of here? And I go put a baby in you. No strings attached.
Are you ovulating right now?
This is our first date. That's none of your business.
I'm about to make it my business.
Marry me.
No.
And that's the eye right there.
Should we be concerned that we only saw one eye?
I'm sure the other eye is fine.
So there's at least a small chance we're dealing with a cyclops.
As you heard, it could be a funny movie. Emphasis on could.
It could not be a funny movie.
Well, no, you know what? It's an R-rated film, and Knocked Up and Superbad were kind of both like this. I saw the trailers and I say these look kind of crappy. You know, they don't look like something I really want to see. And then I saw the movie and I realized all the funny stuff they couldn't put in the trailers. The best parts could not fit in the trailers, and that was cool. Because they actually came out to be good movies. This movie, there wasn't any good stuff to put in the trailers or not. It was just, it's about the two of them are brothers and their father is sick and they want to give him an heir to the carry on the name. And they step up. They're not good at getting women, and so they step up their work. And it's supposed to be stupid and silly, but funny. But it hits those first two points, but not the third.
Stupid and silly. Okay.
I don't know. It just, it had funny parts to it. There were some funny things. It's directed by Bob Odenkirk, who did Mr. Show.
Right.
But it was a big miss. They
so it's like all these people who've done really great things on TV, but it just doesn't work out when they hit the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, they have people from The Office. They have Jenna Fisher from The Office as a bit part. You love her.
Who is good in everything.
Yeah, except her marriage, which just broke up.
Allegedly. She's getting a divorce. She's waiting for me. obviously.
She's like, oh, I heard Neil Miller liked me. I better.
We're MySpace friends. I don't know if you know this.
Really? Does she know this?
Yes.
Or does...
I'm in her top eight.
Top eight that's sent to the police and then gets restraining orders against you? You were in L.A. this summer, weren't you?
I was.
No, but it's... They have these jokes that go on and on and on forever. And sometimes, like, Monty Python was an expert at this, where they'll do a joke and it's funny, and then they'll keep doing it and it's not funny.
Is it like the Cool Beans joke in Hot Rod?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just keeps going.
Right.
And then it's funny again. But this one never achieves the funny again part. So I say it...
It's like they should have stopped at the point where they started thinking of the joke.
Yeah, this one started as a kind of sucked, and I think it's going right down into the suck
total
category.
Suck.
Yeah,
okay, total lots suck. Of suckage.
Let's talk about another movie that sucks. Ooh, did I preempt my review?
Keep doing that.
This would be The 11th Hour with Leonardo DiCaprio trying to indoctrinate all of us into his world of...
Scientology?
No, not Scientology, you know, environmental... The world, the planet's going to die, and we have nothing to do, but yes, we do have something. We can make hybrid cars or whatever.
Awesome.
Here's a clip.
The evidence is now clear. Industrial civilization has caused irreparable damage. Our political and corporate leaders have consistently ignored the overwhelming scientific evidence.
Not only is it the 11th hour, it's 11:59.
There are too many of us using too many resources too fast.
The problem is that every living system is in decline.
If you would have asked me a year ago, could you make a movie that's more boring than Al Gore doing a PowerPoint presentation?
I would have said yes.
I would have said, I don't know, because that was pretty boring. You know what? Leonardo DiCaprio, he took that challenge and he knocked it out of the park. It was... this is
everybody
the most,
likes a hill to climb.
You know what this is? This is like... It's like a bad episode of Nova. It was just
what?
Boring. Yeah, it was just boring. It had all these talking heads and there are a bunch of nobodies. And then it has... They're big, like... You could tell that their, like, big money shot was to get, you know, Mikhail Gorbachev to say something. And it's like 30 seconds of him sort of muttering in Russian, going... And he doesn't really say anything. And I could just see them... Shooting this, going, we got Mikhail Gorbachev in this movie, that's awesome. Then looking at the dailies and going, we got nothing. It's a boring movie.
It's kind of like when Sam Raimi did Spider-Man 3.
Oh, Spider-Man 3 had a lot on this. Don't even compare, man.
Somehow we keep coming back to that. But anyways,
sucks.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and we got to go to a break now. You know, stop burning up the ozone.
Yeah, let's stop listening to Kevin talk.
That's right. We'll get back to you with 310 to Yeoman. Shoot 'em up.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're
Yeehaw!
Moving right along into movies that I've seen. I'm
Yeehaw!
So excited now. I get to talk in this segment as opposed to last segment when you just heard Kevin talk about the Brother Solomon.
And Jamie Presley.
And Jamie Presley.
And Bijou Phillips.
And Monica Bellucci's Dirty Pillows.
Dirty Pillows.
Okay.
That's appropriate term.
We're just trying to find appropriate ways to say, to talk about that particular part of the body. If you're big fans of the show from way back, you know that that's a very important element
very
of
important.
Any movie for us.
Yes.
Anyway, so the next one we have is 310 to Yuma, starring Russell Crowe
Yeehaw!
And Christian Bale. And
Batman versus the Gladiator in the Old West.
Well, let's hear a clip.
Hands up. 22 robberies, over $400,000 in losses.
Y'all notice he didn't mention any of the lives I've taken.
We will have Ben Wade convicted and hanged, and we will pay to make it happen.
I'll come.
So, boys, where are we headed?
Taking to the 310 to Yuma day after tomorrow.
And as you hear, it is pretty much...
A Western.
A Western.
Yeah, yeehaw! That's why I keep saying yeehaw.
Yeah, and I tell
no
you,
no one says yeehaw in this movie.
No one says yeehaw. It's not like, you know, that the classic corny Western. It's more along the lines of like a.
It's not a yeehaw Western.
Like an untouchable, not untouchable.
Untouchables.
What's Unforgiven? Sorry.
Where those Chicago gangsters come down to the Old West? They're like, oh, we need to get Al Capone on that 310 to Yuma. He beat somebody over the head with a baseball bat.
I'm in Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood.
That's
it's
okay.
More of a
I said Monica
Western.
Lewinsky the first.
But I tell you what, we were talking about this before the show. This is one of those movies that's getting rave reviews from a lot of people. A lot of people are saying, this is a great movie. This is a great movie. We were just kind of, I mean, at least I was very just, eh.
It was okay.
It was good.
It reminded me of, did you like Unforgiven?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was decent, but I didn't think it was the best. I never saw it before it won the Academy Award. I was in college, and you were what, like 12? And then I went and saw it, you know, on video later, and I'm like, it was good, but it's kind of like Million Dollar Baby. I'm like, yeah, it was okay. But
yeah, I believe I read one of the reviews up that we have up on Film Score Rejects said, you know, this is a movie that you have to go see in theaters. And I agree with that for this reason. This is a movie you have to go see in theaters because if I was watching it on DVD at home, I would, like, find something else to do halfway, you know, within about the first 30 minutes because it's a very slow start. It's very talky. But I tell you what, it ends well with a lot of good action. Russell Crowe delivers a great performance. He looks like he has a lot of fun. Christian Bale, problem with Christian Bale, takes himself a little bit too seriously sometimes.
He's a little overdone in this
movie. He's too Batman to be a cowboy.
He's not skinny enough. He's not like, if he was like in The Machinist where he's like, he could have pulled it. I don't know, but he supposedly is injured, but he kind of limps a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. So, but I'll give it a kind of rocks.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the fence on this one because, let's say, if you like Westerns, you're going to like this movie. It's got everything that you'd expect from a Western. It's got all the elements to it. And I mean, it's no Silverado.
Right.
You know, it's not an action Western. It's more of a dramatic Western.
I get it.
So I guess I'll give it a kind of rocks. But I'm dreading award season.
Right. If it's going to be more of this, then... and we always That's know what it is. Always goes downhill.
We got Jesse James coming down the
pipe. But anyways, speaking of movies that have no chance of winning awards, we have Shoot 'Em Up, starring Clive Owen, Paul Giamatti, and the lovely Monica Bellucci.
Both of them.
In which...
which you only really see one of
there
them.
There are some guns.
Yes, some big guns.
And so let's hear a clip.
Something funny. Why are you trying to kill this woman?
Do you really think the people that employ me were just going to stand by?
There's no way you can cover up this whole thing.
Who are you?
I'm a British nanny, and I'm dangerous.
And as you heard, plenty of guns.
Yes.
And you only I guess get it's kind of fitting. I mean, it is called Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah, well.
And I tell you, before we get into the little battle that we're about to have over this movie... This is probably one of the best mindless testosterone flicks we've seen all year. Smokin' Aces, which I enjoyed, wasn't... I think Smokin' Aces took itself more seriously than Shoot 'Em Up did.
Well, no, this is the thing with Shoot 'Em Up. And you're right, it didn't take itself seriously, but it really seriously took itself making it not serious. Do you see what I mean? They like were like seriously trying to make a
I'm
spoof.
I'm confused.
They don't take themselves seriously in making a drama. They took themselves way too seriously in making something irreverent and silly. It was like, and the thing with this one is it was just, it went so over the top, it passed funny or irreverent, and it just hit stupid.
I disagree. And I think it was just nothing but entertaining.
This was Charlie's Angels 2 all over again.
No.
And it's just that Clive Owen wasn't Three Hot Chicks.
But he could be.
Well, I don't know about
that.
That's
what you're missing out on.
If you can make that happen, I'll
certain elements
pay you money. But
I mean, Paul Giamatti, you can tell that...
Paul Giamatti's going to look at this performance in like 10 years, he's going to shoot himself in the head.
You could tell the director Michael
Davis...
He's going to
pull an Owen Wilson on everybody with this movie.
Oh, jeez. You could tell director Michael Davis just kind of went to Paul Giamatti and said, no, seriously, more over the top. No, really, go further over the top. It was probably one of
and
the
And then
most...
Giamatti's like, you want me to do it this bad? And he does it. He's like, yes, perfect. And he's like, I
right.
was joking.
Like it's almost a movie that's intentionally bad, but it's a lot of fun. A lot of bullets.
It's,
a lot of creative
it's
ways
just,
to kill people.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Clive Owen stabbing people with a carrot is always fun. Monica Bellucci.
Let me tell you, you didn't see enough of Monica Bellucci.
But there was a fantastic...
A brief flash. Excuse me.
There was a fantastic...
brief flash.
Love-making scene.
Oh,
if you could
it was
call
stupid.
It that.
This movie, you know what it was? It's like the guy saw Crank, and he's like, I can do that. And he tried to do it, and sort of, didn't really do it that well.
Mm.
No.
I don't think so. Is that similar to where I say something funny, and then you're like, I could do that. I could be funny. No?
No, I just don't say anything, and then your joke dies on the vine, withers away, and I come back and plant my Martian flag and claim this... Planet in the name of Mars.
Anyways, I absolutely don't care what you say. This movie kind of rocks.
You're like going to the mattresses to be like,
no, all right,
this
all
right. movie kind of
you know
rocks,
what?
Man. I don't care what you say, but this movie was decent.
You know what, Kevin Carr? I'm giving it a rocks.
Just
to disagree with you.
I have that much influence on your life.
To quote one of our fellow movie critics here in Columbus, it makes me feel better knowing that you didn't like this movie.
Well, you know, and
because
I was
that affirms that it actually was a good movie.
When at the screening for The 11th Hour, I was telling another critic, I said, I call myself now the equalizer in our local group of critics because
you eat everybody.
Yeah, like, well, that would be the Tums. I don't know.
You eat but all the leftover food.
Everyone likes to know. Everyone likes to be agreed with on something. So when I agree with people, they're like, "Oh yeah, that's cool." Except for Christian Dreyer Kramer, who got really nervous that I was agreeing with her too much.
Right. It makes you question your own sanity when you.
But when I disagree, everyone feels better. They feel validated that they disagree with me. So I provide a public service.
Okay.
Yeah. But we gotta
public
go to a break.
Service of liking crappy movies.
Whatever.
And disliking good ones.
We gotta go to break. Be quiet.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a cigarette. But you kiss me.
Dun it. Dun it. Dun it. Dun it. Dun it. Dun it. Do you hear that?
That's
the box office.
It's
coming for you.
It's coming for me. It's coming. It's not coming for anybody. What are the highest theater
cut? I could not think of a better way to come back into this segment.
Yeah. And I'm too lazy to have jumped in and tried.
Yes. And you're like, what?
All right.
Hello? Anyways, we're talking about box office.
Is there a shark in the magical studio in the sky?
Yeah. Well,
that's what we need. We need a man-eating shark.
With lasers.
Can we get a man-eating shark?
Maybe. We can get a lot of stuff in the magical studio in the sky. We got plenty of room.
We got shoes.
We have
shoes. You got your shoes. Nelda Marcos.
Yeah, we have a bamboo plant. Anyways, before we talk about the box office, let's look ahead to what's coming up later in the show. We're going to talk about some entertainment news. We unfortunately do not have any celebrities to talk to this week.
Because
we got bailed on by Ben Foster. I just want to let everybody know that. We were supposed to have an interview with Ben Foster.
That guy's a butthead.
And he's like, psh. Fat guys.
Fat guys. I'm not fat. I can't go in that shit.
He's like, I work with Russell Crowe. Yeah,
talking to Russell Crowe, he's a fat guy.
Anyways, why do we keep saying that? Anyways,
Paul Giamatti, he's a fat guy.
Yeah.
Monica Bellucci, she's got some.
She's got some fatness to her,
but in good way.
Some good fatness. Anyway,
she got size like 10 shoes.
On to the box office. We got three big ones opening this week. The 11th Hour.
Is out.
It's such a limited release that like nobody even cares. I don't even.
It's
think
not even doing well in like the like environmentalist markets.
Yeah, it's like they're not even going to see it in L.A. And like we'll keep the smog.
The guy from Greenpeace like apparently wrote some scathing thing about it, like this week.
And I'm when, like, the geez,
when Greenpeace goes for the throat,
yeah.
You know it's bad.
You know your movies.
It's not even like Earth First, which is a little bit nuts.
Right.
It's Greenpeace, which just like stands in front of harpoons.
Yeah, seriously. And Bruce Willis hits golf balls at them from his oil rig in Armageddon.
That's right.
Anyways.
Michael Bay.
310 to Yuma is actually opening as the sixth widest release with only 2,600 theaters.
Oh, no.
Which is bad because that puts it behind Rush Hour 3, which has been out for a while, behind Bourne, which has been out for a while, behind Superbad, which deserves to stay out in theaters for a long time. Behind Balls of Fury and behind the big turd of last week, Halloween. Halloween's still the widest release out there.
I don't think it's. I'm hoping to God that it just tanks.
It was so bad.
And I hope it tanks. If it doesn't, you know, we might as well just give up to the terrorists now. Give in to their demands.
If Halloween wins the box office, the terrorists win.
The terrorists win if they win the box office again.
All right. Pretty sure nobody's going to listen to our show ever again.
I think the president said that the other day.
I don't know. But the other release is Shoot 'Em Up, only in 2,100 theaters. It's in even less theaters than The Nanny Diaries, so I can't imagine it's going to do very well. And then The Brothers Solomon, only opening in 700 theaters. You would think a big, stupid comedy like this, they'd at least release it wide. But they are
It wouldn't do any good. It's a bad
movie. It's in less theaters than Becoming Jane. Which not only is that a bad indie, like
that
a bad picture house small release,
and Anne Hathaway wasn't naked in it, so it wasn't worth saying.
But it's also been out for like 2 months.
Yeah, so, and it's about Jane Austen, for crying out loud.
Can we please get some more Jane Austen?
Yeah, and there's the Jane Austen book club's coming up this summer. Why? What is the fascination with Jane Austen?
Who is Jane Austen?
I just want to dig up her body and burn it, just because
she's
of all
dead?
These movies. She like wrote in the 18th century.
Oh, that's stupid. It's like making another movie about Elizabeth. Oh,
they are. A sequel.
Wow. There's
nothing more.
I think with that, we have to go to a break.
We gotta go to break. We've offended enough people. Neil, what's your favorite vegetable?
Celery.
Celery? Very close. Carrots. I like carrots. You know why I like carrots?
Because Clive Owen...
There's so many uses for them.
Use one to stab a guy in the eyeball.
And other places.
Various other places.
Yes. Carrots can be a good assailing weapon.
Nice. What else can you use it as a weapon?
Well, I don't know. There's other things. We can go back to the library of movies and find out.
Should we do like a top 10 list?
We could do a top 10. Well, this wouldn't be a top 10 list. We'll call it a top 10 list.
Yeah, it's part of our...
Just to piss off David Letterman.
It's part of our continuing series of the lists that we do that are very, very popular.
Yes, people love us for our lists.
They love our lists. So this week's list is...
You named it.
Oh, all right. It is the 10 deadly inanimate objects and the movie badasses that put them to use.
Now, there's several caveats to this whole thing. First of all,
it's not a top 10 list.
It's not. Well, no,
this isn't
okay,
like.
Enough.
No, but this isn't like. The
this is not a definitive
list.
Yeah, because I know at some point somebody's going to be like, "Hey, there's this 1928 movie where this guy used a shoelace to stick up somebody's nose and kill him."
Right.
And he was a real badass.
We don't care. These are just ones that we like.
But it has to be inanimate objects that are not otherwise known as a weapon. Yeah, you could say chainsaw. You can use it. Technically, chainsaw's not a weapon.
Like
it's a tool.
A dumb one.
Or like a pen. Everybody kills people with pens in movies. It happens. It happened in the, 101 Dalmatians?
Although that's kind of a good one. Like that could be like the honorable mention.
It's an honorable. No, and I don't even know.
So, anyways, let's
And it
let's
has
get
to be
going.
A badass that does it.
You're right. It can't just be like some frou-frou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
we can't use anything out of Pee-wee's Great Adventure.
Although he's a badass.
Although Paul Reubens is a badass.
That's
Paul Reubens.
You met Paul. You accosted him at Comic-Con.
We did. Well, Brian did.
Can I have your picture?
Can we get your picture?
Can you masturbate for us? We have your picture.
Anyways.
That would have been awesome. I'd buy that.
Anything else you'd like to say that's offensive?
This is the special non-airing segment.
This is actually, if you're listening to this segment, you're obviously listening to it online. This doesn't make it to the radio. This is the time for us to unwind before we have to do the next section, which goes back on the radio.
We can say boobs.
Anything else before we get going?
I like Jamie Presley's boobs.
Okay, cool. I like them too. Anyways, coming out on DVD is... what's it? DOA? It's coming out on DVD.
Great movie.
Anyways.
That is a great movie.
But that's a pretty
badass
movie.
Until they all get locked in a cage and two guys fight, and then it gets really boring.
All right, so we're going to start with number 10 in our list of 10 deadly inanimate objects in the movie Badasses that put them to use. Number 10 is a book, and this is Jason Bourne in the Bourne Ultimatum.
He learned that from me.
Yeah.
I once killed a man with a book.
He didn't. I don't know if he. Well, he
killed.
More
of a pamphlet, actually.
Very deadly. I'm sure if he would have hit any normal person with the book, like he hit the guy in the movie, that person would have died.
Yeah.
So
I tried it on
the
way over here, and it worked.
Really?
It was a homeless guy. Nobody cares about him. Should I move on?
Yeah, moving on.
Next one, a tin cup, done by Riddick, Vin Diesel. In The Chronicles of Riddick, which is Pitch Black Part 2?
It was part of that really crappy series of movies.
And Judi Dench. It was a two-parter, man. There's...
Oh, jeez. They needed two parts to bring out all the suck.
Yeah, but he had a cup, and he said he was going to kill somebody with it, and he did. That was
nice.
Awesome.
Well, he's a man who delivers on his promises.
That's right. Why can't I
speaking
find
on a man,
like that?
Speaking of a man who always delivers, Jason Statham.
Okay, did you meet him at Comic-Con, too, and snuggle up to him and say, will you deliver, Jason?
No, he uses all kinds of stuff in the two Transporter movies that he's done so far. Probably the most impressive, though, is the fire hose in the Transporter. I believe it's...
Do.
It's the second one.
Yeah,
it was in the second one where, I mean, he uses he uses one inanimate object to get other objects to kill people with. Like, he takes a fire hose, wraps it around a paint can, and throws the paint can, kills somebody with it.
And then he uses the fire hose to get a bobblehead and annoyed somebody to death with it. Because I see you have a new bobblehead.
It is a Dwight Schrute bobblehead.
Yes.
I will use this inanimate object to kill you if you continue to make fun of it.
Wouldn't it be cool to have the Transporter versus the Transformers? And he could just, like, beat the crap out of all the robots with a fire hose?
Yeah. So that...
And bobbleheads?
That... Wow.
Okay. Number seven. We got to move on, man. We're taking too long on this. A corn cob, half-eaten corn cob. Mary Brady, played by Alice Krieg in Sleepwalkers, that mega hit of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Stephen King wrote, but yeah, she stabs to death Ron Perlman as the sheriff.
Nice.
It's cool. Awesome.
Cop Moving on, number six comes from this week, mm-hmm. which is the carrot used by Clive Owen. He uses it multiple times during the movie.
He eats it, too.
He eats it. He stabs people with it. He fires a gun with it. I mean, the carrot is kind of
Was it supposed to be symbolic?
No.
Okay.
It was just like, here's a carrot. I'm going to kill people with it.
Okay.
So, very entertaining, though. Anyway. Moving on.
Moving on.
you get the easy ones.
This is... No, I'm putting the ones that I chose.
Right. Which are the obvious ones. I had to, like, dig for mine.
Yeah, whatever. A television. I actually have to throw this out, because this has been used multiple times. It's an odd object, but a lot of people use it. Freddy Krueger used it in Nightmare on Elm Street 3. He smashed a girl's head into a television. Michael Myers uses it in the Halloween remake to crush Danny Trejo's face. And Henry, in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, uses a TV he's a serial killer, so he kills someone. It seems to be a popular choice of serial killers.
Right.
Mass murderers. It's not just a one-time... You don't just stumble onto a TV and use it to kill somebody. You
really have to have a purpose.
Like, I'm bored with knives.
Right.
Let's go for the TV.
Okay, cool.
Number four.
On to our number four, which is a paperclip by The Breather in Student Bodies.
Yes, an old spoof horror film.
Yeah.
Use a paperclip.
I think the paperclip's been used in multiple flicks.
Yeah.
I've seen it used again.
But this was a funny one.
I don't remember what it was, but okay.
Because he was breathing.
Yeah, I agree.
Number three, a peanut from Bullseye, played by Colin Farrell, mm-hmm. in Daredevil, which wasn't a great film, but Daredevil was funny in it. I mean, not Daredevil. Daredevil was terrible in that. Colin Farrell was
probably actually his best role that he's ever played, because he's a terrible actor.
Almost as good as, in Miami Vice.
Or The New World.
A friend of ours named McLovin loved that movie.
Nice.
It's number two.
Number two is a hat odd job in Goldfinger, yeah. The old Goldfinger.
There's only one Goldfinger, dude.
But there's the gold member.
Well, that's not gold. That's gold member. I'm talking about
Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Because there's another guy that in the Goldfinger movie or gold member movie.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
And he's not in gold member because he's number one.
Yes.
Random Task was killed by a Swedish-made penis enlarger pump. Kudos, courtesy of Mike Myers as Austin Powers in Austin Powers International Man of Mystery. That's the first movie, by the way.
Yes, and by no means is that like the number one best way to kill somebody, but that's just the last one.
You know what, if I had to go any of those, I probably that would be the preferred method.
Yeah, the Swedish penis enlarger pump.
I'd rather have that than a television.
Okay, cool. Do we have some honorable mentions?
Yeah, we got a frying pan.
In Kill Bill.
Kill Bill and in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
Because you have to say Marion's kind of a badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because she can drink some big Nepalese guy under the table.
Mm,
yeah. There's Nitty Needle, Laurie Strode, in the original Halloween.
Okay.
Although it didn't kill Michael Myers because he can't be killed even when he's beheaded.
Right? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's a total badass.
She is a badass.
Yeah.
Of course, she's getting a little old.
Well, you know. It happens to the best of you.
Yeah, but I've seen Trading Places. I can keep that in my mind. There was a parachute in Air Force One.
Right.
Ford used that to kill Gary.
There's also a pretty cool parachute scene Gary and Shoot Him Up.
No, it's not, because it's all CGI and it's stupid. Moonraker had the best parachute scene. That's where Shoot Him Up, where I said this is where it's turning into Charlie's Angels 2.
Okay,
with no hot chicks, except for Monica Bellucci.
I don't even want to hear you gab about
as the
this
lactating
anymore.
Prostitute.
Nice.
Who was, which we talked about this, actually, we're talking about this off the air. How many people who saw the Passion of the Christ are offended by the fact that Mary, Mother of Jesus, became a lactating prostitute who has sex with a guy while he's shooting people?
I don't know. I don't think anybody that really saw Passion
Poor
of the Christ
Mary, man, she went, fell is going hard to times. See She's like, that other Mary was a prostitute. I could do that.
We're going to get sanctioned by the Internet's regulatory committee that doesn't even exist.
They'll just make it just for us.
And be like, listen, Kevin Carr, No more.
No more of Kevin Carr and his lactating prostitute.
Do you have any more honorable mentions, dare I ask?
Yes, yes. There's the movie Body of Evidence from the early 90s where Madonna killed somebody with sex.
But wait, it's supposed to be an inanimate object. Don't you mean like Madonna's vagina?
Okay. But you know what? I will take that back because I think history has proved that her vagina is far from inanimate because it gets around. It gets around.
All right.
It gets around more than Elton John at a Brokeback Mountain party, man. This is just crazy. So, and I don't want to think about her 50-year-old vagina right now anyways. Can we go to break?
Yeah, please go to break.
Since I spent all my week watching movies, like a good film critic will do, and Neil didn't. He spent half his week watching movies and the other half of his week, I don't know, sitting on the couch watching Desperate Housewives or something like that.
Hey, that's a good show, man.
Oh, God, it sucks in its last... His third year
was
terrible.
You know what? I just bought the complete series of Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with Desperate Housewives.
But you wanted to know what I was doing all week. That's what I was doing. I was watching that, and I was watching South Park Season 10.
You're a weirdo.
Okay, it's better than watching Desperate Housewives.
I wasn't watching. I was just watching the
like
special
throwing
features,
that out at me because you do that and you feel guilty about it.
No, I was watching Desperate Housewives before I came over.
You
here.
You watch My Name Is Earl.
I love My Name
which
is
a good
Earl.
Show. But anyways,
Jamie Presley and Natalie and Nadine Velasquez, whoever plays.
Yeah, what's her name?
Catalina. She's hot.
The one that keeps getting deported.
Yeah.
I
anyways,
wish we could deport you sometime.
I'll have her deport me.
Okay.
I'll be deported to the land of Jamie Presley and Bijou Phillips.
Sweet.
Okay.
Also known as Hostel 3.
That would be awesome. I would go see that. Nobody
anyways,
else
anyways. What are we doing in this? We don't have anybody to talk to.
I'm just lazy. So we didn't get an interview this week, and since I'm so tired from watching movies, I'm going to let you do.
We actually, I have a few interesting topics of discussion.
Sure.
If you want to discuss some things.
Let's discuss.
Well, the first thing I read, this a comes peanut. To us from the movie blog, John Campia over at themovieblog.com.
Who you blew off at Comic-Con.
Who we blew off at Comic-Con.
No, you blew him off, I did.
Yeah. And then made fun of him on a show, which I feel really bad about because he's a really nice guy.
He is.
But it was all a big misunderstanding, and I don't even think he knows about it until he listens to this show.
I didn't mention it to him.
But anyways, it's a little bit of a story. I guess there was a study done by someone.
This sounds like that movie, that 11th Hour. The scientists say that polar bears are dying.
Oh, Yahoo News did a study about where teens hear about movies. And basically it said 51% of teens today hear about new movies.
At the pool hall.
Not at the pool hall. Oh. On the internet, which Ooh. Is where we pretty much exist.
It's where we live.
On the internet.
Otherwise we're just fat you guys for, in our parents' basements.
You looking at, you know.
Jamie Presley. And
Jamie Presley Bill. And me running a website.
Yes. And me coming in to do witty and brilliant commentary.
Here and there.
Yes.
But they broke it down into 15% discover new films from entertainment websites such as filmschoolrejects.com or 7mpictures.com, two that I would highly recommend. 15% from social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace. 13% from video sharing sites like YouTube. And 8% from movie ticket sites like movietickets.com, fandango.com. Because everyone knows that there is a wild Fandango loose in the theater.
Was that part of the... Is that I don't go to Fandango.
Did you ever see the commercial?
Is that with the paper puppet?
The Fandango, yeah.
Oh.
Anyways.
No. I just see the stupid
So I thought that
tickets.
Was interesting because it kind of goes with what we talked about last week with Rod Lurie. Was it last week?
Or two weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, I think.
2 weeks
Actually,
ago.
I've got clips. We can play the clips
yeah,
that he
play
had.
The clip of Rod Lurie. This is interesting.
Yeah, this is there's actually two clips here. The first one he talks about because he was used to be a journalist. Doing newspapers and his thought on newspapers and how, where they're going.
We'll be lucky to have, in 10 years, to have, you know, 6-7 newspapers in the entire United States. I think I got out just in the nick of time from a professional point of view.
Yeah, he went slumming it to make films
Yeah, and make a lot of money.
Sam Jackson and
because we all know that journalists make like millions of dollars.
Yeah, I wish
per article.
Exactly. So, but then he had something specifically to say about entertainment journalism.
And entertainment journalism has, you know, is really belongs to the internet now. It, you know, this is where the future of journalism is, and will forever be.
Forever.
I agree, Rod Lurie.
Rod Lurie, now, you rock, rock.
I also pulled a little bit of a clip from a Variety.com interview that they did with Roger Ebert. As we all know, Roger Who? Is coming back from cancer, throat cancer.
Yeah.
He's in Toronto this week, which the Toronto Film Festival kicked off.
I'm I heard a thing that he's like, they made a note on some press that he's actually reviewing a lot more movies now.
He is. He's doing a lot of, you know, written reviews. This is actually kind of a follow-up to that. You know, there's... He's come back and he's doing a lot more stuff for the Chicago Sun-Times. Obviously, he's not on TV because he hasn't spoken yet.
Well, but is he thin? He's no longer a fat guy anymore.
He's very thin.
We couldn't have him on the show.
We couldn't have him. Well, I mean, as much as we still would.
Yeah.
I mean, but anyways, here's what he had to say about newspapers, and he kind of mentions the online journalists. He said, "Do newspapers realize their local critics are one of the things that set them apart from Google News? Yes, I am syndicated, but I hope my reviews are used as backup and do not replace any jobs. On the other hand, I hardly need to mention the importance of the web. Moviegoers these days know much more about movies in every respect than they did years ago." And I think that's very true, because if there's one thing that people are starting to see more from the web are websites that talk about movies well in advance of them coming out. Because when we look at...
When they're buzzing about it.
When we're buzzing about casting and things like that, nobody used to really...
They did
attention.
A little bit. I mean, I remember when
only
they
like
were...
like the trade rags,
for
like
the huge
Variety.
Movies like Star Wars.
Yeah. But right now, I mean, we've... On the internet, we cover movies that are... That eventually may not even get made.
Yeah.
Like, we wrote a story the other day about a movie adaptation of the video game Joust.
Which is just stupid.
Which
on
is
its
the
own.
Dumbest idea. But we were talking to Tom DeSanto, who's the producer of Transformers, when we were at Comic-Con. And
did you accost him?
Yes.
Get his picture taken? Did you rub up against
yes.
him?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Is there a restraining order?
Film school rejects, business cards, and his G-string and everything.
Sorry, I just shuddered and threw up in my mouth.
But one of the things that he said that I thought was really interesting is how the internet is starting to change the way movies are made. Like when they made the first X-Men, Ain't It Cool News posted a picture of a guy in a yellow Wolverine suit, like a test shot.
Yeah.
And fans just went just crazy against it. They were just...
Because he was in the yellow and blue spandex, man.
And what they did was the producers of the movie said, well, I guess we can't make him look like that because that's not going to go well with the fans. So I think it's interesting to see that even guys like Roger Ebert are starting to recognize now.
Well, but even Roger Ebert, I'd like to see his numbers in the sense I'd be curious as to how many people read him
on
in the
web
paper versus going to RogerEbert.com or see him quoted
right
on the internet. He probably
like
gets
on Rotten
more
Tomatoes.
Yeah, he probably has a stronger or IMDb always quotes him.
Yeah,
you know he has a stronger reach.
But then again, they always quote me too. So
no they don't. Yeah, they only do. Only if you look at like their blotter section, where they said earlier this week Neil Miller was creeping around playgrounds. This has nothing to do with movies, but we wanted to warn people. I'm the one who submit those. It's all on the message boards. Right after the whole, hey, I met Zac Efron once. Did I just
Anyways,
completely kill that topic?
How much more time do we have?
10 seconds. Are you just going to be quiet for 10 seconds?
I don't really have anything else to say for this segment. You've ruined it for me. But we'll go to a break and we'll finish up. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. Let's run down what we said. It feels like it's so long ago we actually talked about movies that are coming out this week.
Well, it is because we recorded this over the course of 7 days.
Right. So last week we recorded our shoot 'em up reviews.
Super Bad. See, you're so far in the past. That's like a month ago, man. You've been pushing Super Bad like it's crack at a playground.
To quote the Rocky Horror Picture Show, let's do the time warp again. Anyways, let's run down the movies. You saw two. You saw Brother Solomon.
I saw four, thank you very much.
No,
you saw two
without me. Brother Solomon.
It's not my fault. You make it sound like you didn't pick me up, man. I waited you 4 hours. I washed my hair even. I saw four. The Brother Solomon.
Brother Solomon, which and you
sucked.
Said
it sucked. Sucked. It started as a kind of suck, but it went into.
And then you saw Leonardo sucking. DiCaprio's sequel to An Inconvenient Truth.
Oh yeah, and sequels are never good.
Which that one?
That one sucked.
All right. So, and then we both
they didn't
saw...
even have any like. There was actually, I guess they did show. We won't talk about that.
Yeah, whatever.
Getting way too much. We're in too much trouble already.
Right. And we both saw 310 to Yuma, and I said it kind of rocked.
Yeah, I go as a kind of rocked, but it's okay. Really right there on the fence. It's like, you know, this summer I went to Texarkana.
Mm-hmm.
This will make sense. And there's a the line goes through, the state line goes through this town square, and you can stand with 1 foot in Texas and 1 foot in Arkansas.
Right.
And it's kind of like kind of sucks, kind of rocks. I have 1 foot on either side when it comes to 310 to Yuma.
Okay. And then we were very militantly in disagreement over Shoot 'Em Up.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I was listening to the song Live and Let Die on the radio this week. This has nothing to do with anything except for what you just said. And if you listen to it's the worst grammar in the world. And he's British.
Right.
Doing it.
Hmm.
You know, in this ever in this ever changing world in which we live in.
But speaking of British, what? Clive Owen, Shoot 'Em Up. I said it rocked. I changed it from kind of rocks to rocks.
Because I have that much influence on people.
Because I hate you.
I'm one of the most influential voices in film.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And you said?
I said it kind of sucked.
Okay.
I mean, I won't give it a full suck.
You weren't willing to give it the full suck, though.
Well, because
that's very non-committal of you.
What are you talking about? Non-committal? Talk about you 310 to Yuma. I can't even know whether I'm Texas or Arkansas.
And it wasn't even it was in the further west than that. It wasn't even in Texas.
No, I don't know, was it in Arizona? I'm assuming it was because they're going, but no, they were taking the 310 to Yuma, so they could have been in Albuquerque for all you know.
Who knows? Anyways, well, no, they were in I don't even know. Whatever.
Were they in Arizona?
No, they were taking them to what was that?
They were in Montreal, weren't they?
I have no idea.
Mayonnaise on the French fries and everything like that. Isn't that what they do in Montreal?
I have no idea.
Instead of ketchup?
Let's look ahead to next week. Those crazy Frenchmen. Next week, what are we talking about next week?
Okay, we're talking about Eastern Promises with the naked fight with Viggo Mortensen.
Nice.
The Brave One, Woody with Jodie Foster kicking butt. Mr. Woodcock, The Hunting Party, and Across the Universe.
Which looks pretty cool. So make sure get a hold of us, fatguys@themovies.com. Get us on iTunes. Go ahead and search Fat Guys at the Movies in the iTunes store. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can give us a call, 614-388-8735.
Pow. We'll see you at the movies.
Adios.